evening, councillors. Good evening, staff, and good evening to our residents in the audience. Welcome to this. This is council meeting number 13, held on the 13th of June 2017, the time being 5:30, and I'll declare the meeting open. I'd remind all in attendance that it is council policy to record council meetings. The audio recording of this meeting will be made available to the public on council's website for a period of 12 months. In accordance with council policy, I'll ask the general manager to confirm that the audio recording has commenced.
Confirmed.
And confirmed. The first item I'd like to do is to acknowledge and pay respect to the Tasmanian Aboriginal community as the traditional and original owners and continuing custodians in the land in which we gather tonight, and acknowledge elders past and present. Attendees tonight is myself, Councillor Wass, Deputy Mayor, Councillor Reek, Councillor Atkinson, Councillor Fox, Councillor Chatterton, Councillor Bastone, Councillor Grace and Councillor Winter. From staff we have our General Manager, Mr Arnold, our Deputy General Manager, Mr Ferrier, our Executive Manager, Engineering Services, Mr Reeve, our Manager Governance and Property Services, Mr Smee, our Manager Development Services, Mrs Tyler Moore, our Senior Planning Officer, Mrs Gray, our Media and Communications Officer, Ms Wilcox, our Executive Assistant, Mrs Morton, our Development Engineer, Mr Moore, and our Executive Manager, Organisational Development, Ms Hughes. We'll move to page 2, and that is apologies. We have 2 apologies tonight, Councillor Dr Graham Berry and Councillor Mike Percy, both with leave of absence. The next item, councillors, is confirmation of the minutes of the council meeting number 10, held on the 22nd of May 2017. I'm looking for a motion that the minutes of council meeting number 10 held on the 22nd of May be confirmed. Thank you, Councillor Reed, and thank you, Councillor Fox. I'll put that, councillors, that the minutes of council meeting number 10 held on the 22nd of May 2017 be confirmed. Move, Councillor Reed, seconded, Councillor Fox. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against, that is carried unanimously. The next item is confirmation of minutes of special council meeting number 11, held on the 29th of May 2017. I have a mover in Councillor Grace and a seconder in Councillor Bastone that the minutes of special council meeting number 11, held on the 29th of May 2017, be confirmed. Councillors, those in favour, please say aye. Those against, that also is carried unanimously. We'll move on to page 3. And the next item is confirmation of minutes of special council meeting number 12, held on the 5th of June. I have a mover in Councillor Chatterton and a seconder in Councillor Fox that the minutes of special council meeting number 12, held on the 5th of June 2017, be confirmed. Councillors, those in favour, please say aye. Those against? We'll have a division or a show of hands, please. Those in favour, please raise your hands. And we have councillors Grace, Bastone, Chatterton, Fox, Atkinson, Reed and Wass, and opposing the motion, Councillor Winter. Motion is carried. The next item is declarations of interest. Councillors, are there any declarations of interest? Councillor Chatterton?
Yes, Mayor. DA206442.
DA206442. Thank you. Any other declarations? Being none. The next item is questions on notice from the public. At the time the agenda was compiled, there were no questions on notice from the public. Questions without notice from the public. Are there any questions without notice from the public? Thank you, Councillor Grace. If I can have your name and address, please. Thank you.
Mayor Wass, during the week I had the good fortune to visit this council's newest old growth forest and newest lyrebird, that being the junction of the Bennetts Roads and Arve Roads of Geeston. But could I tell you how to get there? No, because the Bennetts Road is unsignposted. That's the sad fact, that the Bennett's Road is unsignposted. The next day, I had the good fortune to visit Reuben Falls, the mouth of the Weld River, the Huon Eddy, the Huon Flats, and Glover's Bluff. Iconic destinations. But can I tell Kingborough how to get there? No, I can't. I can't tell you how to get there because there's no Weld Road sign. It's a vital piece of infrastructure, is the Weld Road sign, when you're trying to find something and it's just not there. Of equal importance in the same area is the Edwards Link Road to the Airwalk. Again, can I tell you how to get to the Airwalk? No, because there's no Edwards Link Road signpost anymore. Now,
can I have the question, please, Mr. McBride?
Mayor Woss, does the fact that I'm unable to give the ratepayers of Kingborough access to the Huon's best free getaway destinations concern you? And my next question is, how much does a signpost cost? And in the interests of the ratepayers of your council, your hard-working ratepayers, is it not in their interest that their getaway destinations be adequately signposted? That's my question to you and the ratepayer, the getaway people sitting in getaway from your council. Is it not fair that it be adequately signposted?
Thank you. I'll pass the question over to our General Manager, Mr. Arnold. Mr. Arnold.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you for the question, Mr. McBride. We'll take that on notice and provide a written response for you.
Thank you, Mr. McBride.
Thanks, Councillor Ross. I'm sorry, Mayor, I couldn't give you a question on notice. I was only just returned briefly from working elsewhere. My notice, my question about notice to the Mayor, I request a written answer from the Mayor to be included in the next minutes and agenda of the Council. Mayor, it is understood that you have promised $18,000 to the Local Government Association of Tasmania for Kingborough's contribution to a political campaign involving Taswater. I further understand you are asking for approval from this Council this evening for this expenditure. This represents, in your view, 1% of the Taswater current dividends.
Point of order. The gentleman can't ask a question on a matter that's on the agenda for us tonight. Point of order.
Yes, so that is that up. Point of order. Councillor Fox is upheld. Anything on the agenda, sir? I'm sorry, but you can't ask that question.
I can't ask a question.
No, it is.
Well,
it is in lines of the
next meeting.
That's fine.
In relation to the breach of the Local Government Act.
And if you've got it in writing,
and
we'll
I'll
take
write
it
to the Director of Local Government, expressing.
You may do so, sir. If you've got it in writing, if you'd like to give it to Councillor Grace, we'll take
yes,
that
I will.
On. Thank you. Any further questions, ladies and gentlemen? Thank you. Thank you, Councillor Grace. Councillors, we'll move on. Page 4, questions on notice from councillors. There's a question from Councillor Winter regarding the Kingborough Sports Centre Fitness Centre and an office response. On page 7, further question from Councillor Winter regarding bird life at Rotary Centennial Park, Kingston Beach, and an officer's response. On page 8, the question re, the Kingborough budget from Councillor Winter with an officer's response. Also, budget revenue estimates from Councillor Winter and an officer's response on page 8. Questions without notice from councillors. Are there any questions without notice? Councillor Reet.
Thank you. Is council aware that as a result of the redeveloped Blackmans Bay Skate Park, that there has been a significant increase of people skateboarding down Myuna Road and along Wills Parade? This has resulted in a potential hazard for both skateboarders and drivers, and is concerning to local residents who I understand have recently witnessed some near misses. Could council staff please consider the installation of one or more speed bumps on Myuna Road, along with road signs to alert drivers to the skate park in order to avoid a potentially serious accident?
Mr. Reeve, would you like to take that on notice, or have you got a response?
Through you, Mayor. I can provide just a brief response and then I'll probably take the rest of it on notice there. But One thing under the road rules, obviously, skateboarders are allowed to actually use the road in certain circumstances there. I'm not aware of what the extent of the issue is down through that area there, but that's something we'd need to look into a little bit further there. But obviously we'd want people, both vehicles and skateboarders, to act harmoniously together there. There's probably a number of different measures we can have a look at, which could be either the sort of hardscape type measures there, or also some more liaison with the youth in the area as well at the same time there. But what I will do is take on the notice in full and then provide a response back to council.
Thank you.
Councillor Gross.
Mr. Mayor, my question is to the General Manager. Can he advise on how many business signs throughout the municipality on council roads has council written to the business people and had removed? How many businesses have been requested to remove their signs? So therefore, if the General Manager could give us a report on how many have been removed in the last while.
Thank you. Mr. Arnold?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Grace, thanks for the question. I'll take that on notice and provide a written response.
Councillor Rich, you have a second question?
Sorry,
no. No other questions, councillors? Councillor Winner?
Thank you. At last week's special council meeting, we debated the annual estimates. It was explained four separate times to councillors that the annual estimates were based on a 4% rate rise, four separate occasions. Tonight we've seen, in answer to a question on notice, that they were in fact based on an 8.8% rate rise. Do you accept that councillors fundamentally misunderstood the budget estimates they were adopting when the motion was passed?
Thank you. Mr. Arnold?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Winter, thank you for the question. Again, I'll have to take that one on notice and provide a written response.
Yep.
Thank you.
No further questions, councillors? We'll move on to motions in which notice has been given. At the time the agenda was compiled, there were no notices of motion received. Petitions still being actioned. There were no petitions still being actioned. Petitions received in the last month. There was one regarding the North Roslyn Avenue traffic, and there is a recommendation on page 9. Thank you, Councillor Grace. You've moved that. And Councillor Winter. That motion from Councillor Winter, seconded by Councillor Winter, that the petition be received and referred to the appropriate department for a report to Council. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against, that is carried unanimously. At this stage, the open session of Council adjourns, the time being 5:43, and the Planning Authority commences, and I remind Councillors that we are now sitting as a Planning Authority. On page 10, the first item is the Officer's Report to the Planning Authority on Delegated Authority, and there is a recommendation on page 12. Thank you, Councillor Chadden. Do I have a seconder? Thank you, Councillor Bastone. Any questions to officers? Being none, I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Chadden, seconded by Councillor Bastone, that the report be noted. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against, that is carried unanimously. We'll turn to page 13, and the first one is the development application for Kingston Beach Surf Life Saving Club House, restaurant, takeaway, coffee and ice cream bar and public toilets at 25A Osborne Esplanade and adjacent Crown Land, CT 20612 1 Folio 1 and 9 Albert Street, CT 169748 Folio 1 Kingston Beach for Irenic Planning. And there is a recommended motion on page 65. Councillor Chatterton has left the room. Thank you, Councillor Grace. Do I have a seconder? Councillor Fox. Councillor Grace.
This I have read. This we have had many discussions on. And this is an a development application I don't normally vote against, particularly something that I think is worthwhile, but in this case I think it's not. I think, to be quite frank, there's been lack of consultation throughout Kingborough, being public land. I believe that we've had applications put before this council some time back regarding, for an example, a food van to operate on Peter Murrell, not Peter Murrell, Johnson's Reserve. And this council bitterly debated that and refused it on the grounds of it would be taking business away from other businesses in the area. With the planning scheme and stuff, we have to assess everything as we see it. It's not up to us to determine if it's going to take businesses away or not. But in this case, I believe, and I've said strongly from the beginning, so it's not a change of heart or mind, I think it's the wrong location. I think that parcel of land, and particularly now, council's invested in that piece of land from Victoria Street, that we should then develop that toilet block ourselves and make use of that piece of land that we have down there for parking, the land that's going to be left for parking, and particularly for disabled people to be able to get to the toilet. There's a lot of other reasons, Mr. Mayor, and I for 1 minute don't think that I don't support the Surf Life Club. I certainly support them 100%, and I think a lot of people in the Surf Club know that, because they know that I'm pretty active when it comes to the regatta and other things that they hold, the functions. But I'll open it up now, Mr. Mayor, to my colleagues.
Thank you, Councillor Grace. Councillor Atkinson.
Thank you, Mayor. I read this report carefully because I know that this is a planning or a proposal that lots of people in the community have strong feelings about, both for and against. And I went so far as to talk to the General Manager again about what our role is when we're sitting as a planning authority, and how we can, what we're debating here. And what we're debating is whether this meets the planning scheme or not. We've got before us an officer's report that lays out 24 reasons where, in their professional opinion, this development is not allowed under the planning scheme. I won't read them all in detail, but they are to do with it being a residential zone and it being an inappropriate development for a residential zone, the desired future character statement of Kingston Beach, so what sort of area it's meant to be, what sort of development we expect to see in it, amenity of neighbouring residents, whether their buildings can be overshadowed, front setback, impervious surface, whether there's too much of the surface is paved so it can't absorb stormwater, heritage, road access, parking, the list goes on. There's 24 reasons here, all explained in detail. Regardless of what I think about the Surf Club or about commercial development in Kingston Beach, I'm going to support this motion to refuse, because to me, it clearly doesn't meet the planning scheme.
Thank you, Councillor Atkinson. Councillor Reid.
Thank you. Councillor Atkinson started where I was going to start, and that was the difficulties that we have as councillors when we sit as a planning authority. And it's something that I'm always at pains to point out to members of the public who communicate about planning issues and share their opinions, and that is that our opinion on whether we want this or we don't want it, or whether we like it or we don't like it, doesn't actually count as far as making a decision when sitting as a planning authority. And that is a really important point that I hope that those people who are here to watch the debate tonight understand, because we can't have an opinion on this. We have to assess it, as Councillor Atkinson said, in accordance with the planning laws that are set. And it was interesting in going through a number of the submissions. We have 63 submissions from 26 people who were supportive and 31 people who were against the proposal during the public consultation phase. And when we take a development application out for consultation, we ask people to refer to the planning laws in stating their support or objection. And I noticed that in the supportive ones, a lot of them were personal opinions, and we can't, it's difficult, we can't be swayed by that, because we have an obligation when we sit as a planning authority to vote on something in accordance with the legislation that we are governed by. And if we don't, we serve to, and if we seek to overturn a decision by planning experts who have gone through and compared how this development application does or does not satisfy the legislation, then we pose a very real risk of opening up council to tens of thousands of dollars of legal fees for appeals. And it has happened in the past where there have been appeals, and that is ratepayers' money then that has to fund that action. I don't want to see us in that situation. I had gone into this, and I've listened to all the different debates we've had over this for a long time, and I thought, I hope before I rent this, I hoped it would meet the planning scheme and the legislation. And the fact is, it doesn't. And I note that I think it's very important that because we did run the risk of being seen as the property owners of having a conflict of interest as council, that we did go and employ an independent planning expert to do a peer review of the decision that our planning experts had come up with. And that independent review agreed with council's refusal and all the grounds of refusal. I've been on council 6 years now, and never in the time that I've been here have we ever passed a development application that had so many discretionary things that it did not meet, 24 or 26. And I think if it was to just be for a normal residential property and we were to endorse something like that, we would be absolutely hung, drawn and quartered by a lot of our ratepayers for allowing such discretion. I believe that the impact on the neighbouring residents, because it is bounded on three sides by residential properties, is too great. I believe that, and that is the point of difference that sets this Surf Life Savings Club development apart from all of the others that exist around the state. And in the paperwork, it clearly showed there is one exception, and that is at Clifton, where the house was built after the Surf Life Saving Club was there. So in all other places, fortunately, there have been places that have separated it from the residential area. I don't believe it's possible to have a commercial development with an 80-seat restaurant and all the activities associated with a cafe and a takeaway, an ice cream shop and a surf club without creating noise to the residents who live nearby. And as Councillor Atkinson's already noted, we have overshadowing issues, the car parking issues are of a great concern, and certainly the traffic impact assessment was a concern. I note there was even only one disabled parking spot available, and that was behind a gate. That concerns me greatly as Chair of the Council's Access Committee. I could probably go on for a lot longer, but I know there are others who want to speak. So it does, it is, with a, I say with a heavy heart, that I will support the refusal, but I do so on the fact that unfortunately this is not an application that meets the planning scheme.
Thank you. Councillor Fox.
I think Councillor Reid has summed it up very well. I guess it's really a matter of scale, this development that's come before us, and I'm surprised that it's got to this point because I know there's been a huge amount of negotiation that's taken place, and I would have thought it could have been resolved rather than coming to us with a refusal. But I do feel the scale will be of such an impact on not only the nearby residents but also the nearby businesses that I do support the refusal. I would like to actually read the conclusion on page 64 for the benefit of the recording, because I know a lot of people take an interest in this. The application seeks approval for a substantial building containing multiple commercial, sporting and recreational uses to be located on a pair of adjoining properties located within the general residential zone that front onto both Albert Street and Osborne Esplanade in Kingston Beach. The development seeks discretion on multiple clauses related to the uses proposed, setbacks and building envelope, and car parking, as well as the extent of the site developed. Additionally, the development is located within a heritage precinct, which requires further discretion. The site is surrounded by residential development on all three boundaries, with minimum density apartment development to the west and single detached dwellings to the north and east. As part of the assessment, other similar developments around Tasmania that house surf life-saving clubs were looked at to gain perspective on where these clubs are appropriately located. This research revealed that similarly large surf club headquarters are almost entirely located in zones such as recreation or in coastal areas zoned environmental management, with clear separation to residential uses in the locality. None were located in residential zoned areas, and all, with the exception of Clifton Beach Surf Lifesaving Club, as Councillor Reet mentioned, were considerably buffered from residential areas by a combination of distance, roads, other passive recreation uses, topography and landscaping. The subject general residential zone site surrounded on all sides by residential development is considered incompatible for the scale and intensity of the development proposed. If approved, the proposed development will lead to a significant loss in the amenity of residential properties in the surrounding area. Likewise, it's unclear how the operation of the building would be policed by council to ensure the premises would not be used for prohibited uses. While the proposed surf club and restaurant building is a well-designed building that no doubt fulfills its brief of accommodating multiple users, it is considered that the site chosen for the development is wholly inappropriate and the proposal should be refused for the reasons discussed throughout this report. I guess we can only judge what we have in front of us. We can't foresee the future, but on the face of it and considering the strength of this report, I think we have no option but to refuse this application. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Verstein.
This fills me with very great sadness to have to vote against this, because I've been a staunch proponent for the Surf Life Saving Club. They operate out of appalling conditions now. The toilets are disgusting that are there, the public toilets, and yet there is no way that this conforms to the building or the planning. We can get planning approval on it. I, like Councillor Atkinson, spent the weekend reading this over and over to see if there was a get-out clause, because I think that to continue for our youth to try and operate out of a shed with their equipment, to do their training in the open, is appalling. We are a council that looks, I hope, looks after our youth, and one of the leaders from the Surf Life Saving Club was our Kingborough Junior Resident of the Year. Her hope was that within her lifetime we would get this Surf Life Saving Club built, and I just can't see any way that we can not agree with the recommendation we've got here to disallow this building. But it fills me with great sadness to have to do so.
Thank you. Councillor Winter.
Thanks. The report in front of us lists Irene Planning as the applicant here. But can we confirm that Kingborough Council is, in fact, the applicant? That Irene, this is under the guise... Kingborough Council is the actual developer here. Is that correct?
Mrs. Tollemore, you able to answer that for me, please?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, Irene Inc. is the applicant on the application form. There is always one correspondence that's part of the application form, so it's not misleading to have Orion Inc. on there. And details about partnership with council and the developer would probably be better answered by another officer, and that would be on the basis that unfortunately I wasn't here for the start of this whole process and I wouldn't like to mislead by an incorrect response to you.
Okay, just a common bugbear I have about this is that we're looking at organic planning for the purposes of conflicts of interest. In any other time, this is exactly the point I'm making. I mean, this is clearly, Irenic Planning is not the applicant here. This is just the front for Kingborough Council and Osborne Esplanade and the Kingston Beach Surf Lifesaving Club. And it's important that we understand who the proponents are. One of those major proponents was Kingborough Council here. It's also important to understand the history of this in that the applicant, Kingborough Council, has actually undertaken with the land that it owned an expression of interest and especially selected the Kingston Beach Surf Lifesaving Club and the cafe, the restaurant proponents, to actually construct this. And then further to that, I understand that the applicant, Kingborough Council, has been in and actually purchased additional land to enable rear access to that particular block of land using further ratepayers and public funds to do that. It seems to me that the applicant has totally stuffed this up. We are now sitting as a planning authority assessing an application which I am reassured by my fellow councillors and the report doesn't meet the planning scheme. And that is the biggest disappointment in my time on council by far, that we've got to this point in time, that Kingborough Council has got to this point in time and presented the planning authority tonight with this application which it seems doesn't meet the required criteria, and it is to the great detriment, I think, of Kingston Beach that this land is going to remain in the condition it is, because this won't be supported tonight. I feel desperately sorry for those that will be negatively impacted by this decision, because they don't deserve it and they put a lot of effort into the application. The points that have been made are, I think, on the whole, correct by my fellow councillors. We have to sit as a planning authority and protect our ratepayers by adhering to the planning scheme in our deliberations. I have a slightly different take. I think Councillor Reid said we can't have an opinion. It seems to me, in reading the report, that the planners certainly have an opinion. They have to have an opinion because a lot of this planning isn't always objective. It's not always black or white. There are different shades of grey in between. A lot of these points of refusal, some of the 24 I disagree with, particularly I live at Kingston Beach and my family's been at Kingston Beach for 30 years. I disagree that it's not in character with Kingston Beach, for example, but it's difficult for me to go through 24 different... It's the scale of the points of refusal that are difficult to argue against. I have got a draft recommendation for approving this from staff. It's quite clear that my fellow councillors are looking to accept the advice that we've got in front of us. But I just wanted to outline my extreme disappointment at this process, that the applicant has gone to such lengths to undertake the process it did, to outline its vision for the site, and then come forward to the planning authority with an application that didn't meet the requirements so poorly. I think the whole community is going to lose from the decision we make tonight, and it's incredibly sad for me that we're in this position.
Thank you. I think everyone's had an opportunity to say, so I'll just add some closing remarks before I ask Councillor Gross to close debate. I guess if we wind back the clock, I was fairly well excited, I think everyone was, on council for the idea that we could utilise this block of land, particularly for an organisation such as the Kingston Beach Surf Lifesaving Club, who's, I think, in the last 12 or 18 months, their membership has doubled, and the amount of work that they're doing in the community, and the working with children in particular, and teaching people life and teaching people how to save life. And even if there is only one life saved at any particular period of time, be it 12 months, be it 5 years, that is one life that we would continue to have, certainly because of surf life saving. I'm the same, I'm very disappointed. My decision obviously can't be from how I would like, and I certainly have to go by the planning scheme. I note that the last time council didn't go by the planning scheme was in relation to a block of land at Dens Point on Bruny Island, and that actually cost us $56,800 and we were not able to defend our position. Costs were rewarded and our decision was reversed. I've had lengthy discussions with our senior planning officer, who's assured me that there is no way that we can, and I must admit, having seen 24 reasons for refusal, I don't think I've seen any of those to that extent before. I would like to cover 2.6 on page 43, and I believe this is pertinent and possibly, hopefully, assures Councillor Winter in particular, but certainly assures the other councillors around the room. And this is management of application and council involvement, and it says, many of the representations submitted express concern about the involvement of council as a property owner, developer, assessing authority of the application. It is for this reason that an independent third-party planning consultant, Fraser Reed, of All Urban Planning Proprietor Limited, has been engaged by council to provide a peer review and endorsement of the assessment and recommendations contained in this report by council officer. Other issues such as council's involvement in seeking tenders, pre-application discussions and funding are not matters able to be considered by staff assessing the application under relevant development standards. And comments from Fraser Reed state, I have reviewed the proposal and council's planner's assessment and agree that the proposal does not comply with the relevant considerations under the planning scheme. On my review, the proposal is too great an intensity and is not compatible with the residential use of the area, is likely to have a significant detriment impact on the residential amenity of the area, and will not primarily serve the local community. This proposal does not satisfy many applicable provisions of the planning scheme, and in my assessment, the application should be refused. So on that, I believe that council has done its work. Its planning scheme, I don't think, can be questioned, and that is the recommendation in front of me. And as I said, I think a number of times ago, be it 18 months, 12 months, whatever it was, I thought we had a golden opportunity, particularly in relation to the Surf Life Saving Club. But unfortunately, tonight we're sitting as a planning authority and must deal with this in planning authority requirements. So, Councillor Grace, I'll hand to you to close the vote.
Thank you. Just one issue on Councillor Winter's add an alternative motion. I think if I remember rightly, we voted some time back because we as a planning authority are compelled to vote for what's in front of us. If anyone has an alternative motion they want to put forward, I remember that must be passed on to the mayor prior to the start of a meeting, so everybody's aware of it now. Well, we were supposed to be anyway. That was just an issue that came through because that was under the previous mayor. That was an issue that was discussed and passed by this council. That has to be in front of us when we sit at the table. Look, as far as the Life Serving Club, I feel I go back some years when I was first on the council, and quite a few years now with the Life Serve Club. There's the two twins, the Tabor twins, that won the first, the very, very first council youth of the year. I think you remember that, Mr. Mayor, yourself. So we are very, very supportive of the surf life saving. Very much so, but it is just a shame tonight when you read these reports, and I, as I said before, when I moved the motion for this motion, that I am saddened also because I want development in the community, but I want sustainable, and this, in our opinion, does not comply. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Grace. Councillors, I'll put the recommendation on page 65, moved by Councillor Grayson, seconded by Councillor Fox, that in accordance with Council Policy 1.1, Delegated Authority Policy, the Planning Authority resolves that the report of the Manager Development Services be received and that the development application Kingston Beach Surf Life Saving, KBSLSC, clubhouse, restaurant and takeaway, coffee and ice cream bar, and public toilets at 25A Osborne Esplanade, Osborne Esplanade and adjacent Crown Land Certificate of Title 216121 Folio 1 and 9 Albert Street Certificate of Title 169748 Folio 1 Kingston Beach for Irenic planning be refused on the following reasons, and there are, as indicated by several councillors, 24 reasons for refusal. Councillors, I'll ask you to vote. Councillors in favour of the motion, please say aye. Those against? That is carried unanimously. The next item is on page 79. It's a development application for Childcare Centre 1699 Channel Highway Margate for IDW Architecture, and there is a recommended motion on page... We'll wait for Councillor Chadden to return. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Councillor Chadden has left the building. Elvis left the building. Paul went with him. Councillor Chadden returned to the room at 6:11. Councillors, as I indicated before, the development application starting on page 79, development application for Childcare Centre at 1699 Channel Highway Margate for IDW Architecture, and there is a recommended motion on page 90.
I move.
Thank you, Councillor Grace. Thank you, Councillor Fox. Councillor Grace.
Look, this is going to be a vast improvement. This is sensible by the people that own the Childcare Centre. As we all know, Margate is a growing and growing place, and parking is a big, big problem. And I noticed that in this application there is additional parking, at least there is parking to get some of the vehicles off the street. And it will be much safer for those children and parents that use that facility.
Thank you, Councillor Grace. Councillor Fox?
I think this is a very welcome development for such a growing municipality, and particularly Margate. I note that there are conditions relating to the glazing of the building and also landscaping, but it is an existing use, and it's an expansion of an existing use, and I think it would be very welcome by the residents. Thank you.
Thank you. Further discussion?
May I ask Councillor a question?
Yes, question.
This proposed childcare centre is to replace the childcare centre that is one door away from it?
Thank you for that correction. Beg your pardon.
Councillors, I'll put the recommendation that in accordance with Council Policy 1.1, Delegated Authority Policy, the Planning Authority resolves that the report of the Manager Development Services be received and that the development application for Childcare Centre at 1699 Channel Highway Margate for IDW Architecture be approved subject to the following conditions. And as you can see, there are 17 conditions. Councillors, I'll ask you to vote. Those in favour, please say aye. Those against? This carried unanimously. The next item is on page 109, development application for garage and home-based business at 6 Taninia Mews, Kingston Beach for Mr. I.T. Headley, and the recommendation is on page 122. Thank you, Councillor Reid. Thank you, Councillor Grace. Councillor Reid?
this is an application for a home-based business. It has satisfied the requirements of the various requirements that are around operating a business from home, such as the number of people employed and the floor space, etc., etc. And the recommendation is for approval subject to the conditions outlined in the recommendation.
Thank you, Councillor Rees. Further discussion, Councillor Chatterton?
Look, I when reading some of the correspondence on this particular subject, and when we advertise these as a home-based business, we don't actually say in a lot of the times what the home-based business is, and that seemed to be a concern to a couple of people who wrote in to council about and objected because they didn't know what it was. And I could only pick up from page 113, which it says an office area and amenities owner of the property to undertake self-employment as a design builder. So I assume that's what it is. But apart from that, there's nothing else in the document either. And I just think, in fairness to those people who reside particularly alongside some of these applications that come in, we should be prepared to give a little bit more detail. And I think we should be saying, yes, it's a home-based business, but what is the home-based business? Because if it was making jams or something like that, they might complain. If it's repairing cars, well, of course, they're going to complain of some description. So I think we need to be more open in the way that rather than just a home-based business, if we can do that.
Mrs. Tyler Moore, would you like to add any comments, please?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, the home-based business is used on the public notification, but of course the public notification details, including all the plans and other supporting documentation, is available at our customer service office here and online as well. So it is typical that all that information be included there. We don't tend to describe it in the preamble, and that's the conciseness, and obviously it's going in the paper. The same as we don't list discretions when it's for an application for a dwelling. We no longer have that it's a side setback discretion and so forth. But the information is available there, and certainly they are able to contact the office and make any inquiries if they wish or come to our counter.
Is that possible that it can be in future reports, as Councillor Chadden is suggesting?
In response to you, Mr. Mayor, we would be reluctant to necessarily list the home-based business in there, just in case we didn't include everything and include the development. It also makes the preamble in the newspaper publication a lot longer. There's nothing prohibiting us doing it, so we can consider it. Perhaps I could have a discussion with the team and have a look at the detail within the scheme and provide a response for the next council meeting.
Thank you.
In due respect, Mayor, if an applicant is taking over a shop up in Channel Highway, it would say restaurant or cafe or whatever, so to me there's no difference in due respects, but I think we owe it to the public not to hide things.
Thank you. Mrs. Tyler Moore has indicated that she will come back to us with her response, so thank you, Mrs. Tyler Moore. Councillor Atkinson.
Thank you. I've just had a couple of questions, and I guess it's sort of my edification as much as anything else. Looking at Condition 5 and Condition 7, so one says all goods relating to home-based business must be located within an area designated for the home-based business. Any display or storage of goods outside this area not permitted. And the other is goods, materials, supplies or equipment used for the home-based business must not be stored outside without the prior consent of the council. So is that Condition 5, obviously there's a distinction there. I wonder if you could clarify what the distinction is between those two conditions.
Mr. Tyler Moore, are you able to help us with that clarification? Councillor Bastone, can you turn your light off, please? Thank you.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, there's, looking at it in response to the question, no, there isn't much of a difference between the two, and they were certainly put in there as a response to the objection that was submitted, the representation that was submitted, but no, there's not really a difference between the two.
Except for one's got a condition saying you can do it if you ask the council, and one says you can't do it at all. And one's to do with outside. I was just trying to I mean, if I was receiving those conditions, I'd be trying to understand what they meant.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I agree with what you're saying from if you're a resident asking the question, and perhaps it could be a modified decision by the council to strike out one of those two conditions, but it would probably be my recommendation that condition 7 be retained, because occasionally people do need have things that they need to store outside temporarily, whether that's the delivery of the new photocopy machine or, you know, given the nature of this particular business, I wouldn't anticipate there'd be much need for storage of any goods given the nature of the business being designed outside.
I was trying to understand whether condition 5 was distinguishing between the garage and the office spaces. What part was the home-based business and part was a garage, or whether that's where I sort of got confused as to what the intention was. But I mean, I'm not quite happy to leave them both there. I just wanted to make sure it was clear.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, we do put restrictions on the amount of space that's used. So, for example, we do have businesses that say that the home-based business, and as you can see through the report, there is a restriction on the number of metres squared that they're allowed to utilise. So if they sort of cheekily use the rest of the garage to store all their equipment or goods, say it was a shop for herbs, and they were storing all the pots that are associated with that and the other potty mix in their garage, then that would be storage of goods outside the 50 square metres. So that's where that originates from.
Okay. Thank you. The other one I wanted to understand was condition 6, where the structure must not be used for separate self-contained residential purposes without prior written permission of council. Firstly, I was sort of curious how we enforce that, but also, and this is just my ignorance really, I know we've had previous applications where there's been things to do with a separate residence, you know, can't share the kitchen and the laundry and the something. What distinguishes this from a separate residence?
Mrs. Tyler Moore.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. The condition was put on in response to the representation that was put in, and if you have a look at the plans, it does show that there is a water closet and a basin in there and a small kitchenette, which isn't unreasonable for a home-based business. I guess we're being extra cautious in saying that it can't be used as a second residence. And we could only enforce that either by choosing to do regular inspections or occasional inspections, or if someone was to report that they believe that that's happening, then certainly there's a strong condition that says clearly you can't use it as a self-contained accommodation. And the last part that says without written consent of council, that just relates to then that written consent would have to be a planning permit application for accommodation or a second dwelling.
Thank you. And just to clarify, in that drawing on page 128, because it's very small, as you say, there's a water closet, there seems to be a shower. Is that an underbench washing machine in the kitchen, as well as a fridge?
Mrs. Tolnamore?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I could see the fridge, which wouldn't be unreasonable for a kitchenette, and the two items next to it...
It looks like it
can't
says
answer on what
it says UBWM when I blow it up on the screen, but under bench washing machine I would have read, but I don't know. So.
I couldn't say for certain on what that is, but we do have a condition in there about not using it as a residence.
That was very clean in their business, but thank you for clarifying that.
Thank you. Councillor Bastone. Done. Councillor Fox. Further discussion, councillors? Councillor Grace, you? No? All right. I'll ask the mover and seconder whether they're comfortable with item 5 and 7 remaining as is, or whether they wish to amalgamate.
Unless Mrs. Tyler Moore would prefer us to clean it up, I'm happy for it to remain as is.
Thank you. You agree, Councillor Gross? I take it that's a yes. Councillors, I'll put the recommendation. Moved by Councillor Reid and seconded by Councillor Grace, that in accordance with Council Policy 1.1, Delegated Authority Policy, the planning authority resolves that the report of the manager development service be received, and that the development application for garage and home-based business at 6 Tanninia Mews, Kingston Beach, for Mr. I.T. Headley be approved subject to the following conditions, and there are 16 conditions attached. Councillors in favour, I'll ask you to please say aye. Those against, that is carried unanimously. At this stage, we move to our page 131, and at 6:25, the open session of council resumed. And the first officer's report is the draft dog management policy, and there is a recommendation on page 136.
You hear me, are you?
Yes. Thank you. That's right. And noted that Councillor Grace has left the meeting at 6:25 p.m. Thank you, Councillor Chadden. Do I have a seconder? Councillor Fox? Councillor Chadden.
Yes, Mayor. I mean, this topic is always a divisive topic, no matter, we can't win no matter which way we go. But I'm pleased to see that we're going to further investigate. That's point A. And point B, the fee structure. It talks about the fee structure. C is the declared areas in the current policy be updated where they're related to the protection of wildlife, which would satisfy some people, particularly in the Taroona area. And a further draft of the policy be prepared upon the presentation to Council following the enactment of the proposed amendments to the Dog Control Act. Now, I note in the report that there's some little things that have started to come out under that Dog Act, and of course the contentious issue seems to be whether dogs can be on beaches, or whether they can be restricted on beaches, or whether they can be off the lead, on the lead, and all those issues. And it seems that something may be coming out, or has come out partly, in regards to we may be able to restrict dogs on some beaches if that's the case and that's the way we want to go. I'm not saying it is the way we want to go, but the options are there. And I think if we were to proceed in line of the comprehensive report that Mr. Smee has put together, and all the questionnaires and everything is there, and then the Dog Act came out and we were able to do something else, we'd have to change things again. And I think it's the sensible way to remain as is until we've got that the new Dog Act in place, and only have to make the one change on what we are now, rather than make a change and then regulate legislation comes out and we may be able to do this or we may be able to do that, and then we decide to make changes again, and the dog owners and the non-dog owners, you know, will know whether they're Arthur or Martha. But this way, if we make them wait, only make the changes that we need to under the protection of the wildlife, I think is the way to go, pending information coming out in the Drug Control Act 2000.
Thank you, Councillor Chadden. Further discussion, councillors? I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Chadden, seconded by Councillor Fox, that A, further investigation be undertaken into issues raised by the community following the release of Council's draft dog management policy. B, the fee structure in the current policy be amended to reflect an alignment with Council's annual approved fees and charges. C, declared areas in the current policy be updated where they relate to the protection of wildlife in accordance with the attached table. And D, a further draft on the policy be prepared for presentation to Council following the enactment of the proposed amendments to the Dog Control Act 2000. Councillors, I'll ask you to vote. Those in favour, please say aye. Those against, that is carried unanimously. The next item is on page 151. The petition, jet skis operating from Conyngham Beach, and there is a recommendation on page 155. Thank you, Councillor Chadden. Thank you, Councillor Fox. Councillor Chadden?
I have nothing to say at this point in time. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Fox?
I guess I'd like to refer to an email we received from... I would like to refer to an email we received from Zoe Cousins, which I only received over the weekend and passed on to
Gary Arnold, our General Manager, who in turn passed it on to our Deputy General Manager, Tony Ferrier. And the reply in that email is very reassuring, because I felt that the email we received made some very pertinent comments, which I could not find reason to refute. But we have now been informed that legal advice received by counsel actually contradicts the email, and I don't know whether staff would like to comment on that, because I'd rather than me quoting from an email, it might be better if either Gary or Tony could comment.
Mr. Ferrier, do you wish to comment? Through the chair, we did obtain legal advice from counsel's legal advisor, Don Armstrong, and his advice is reflected in the report and the text of the report. I paraphrased it as accurately as I possibly could, and that he does not believe that council can require a planning permit for the on-water activity under the current planning scheme. And I guess without going into the, well, I guess the information which is in the report is as he has stated, but in response to the email that Councillor Fox is referring, I do go on to define some of the use classes from the scheme, which I guess Ms. Cousins is contending that the activity might fall under, and it is apparent when you read the definitions of those use classes that they would not apply, and that in fact Mr. Armstrong has determined what use class would be most appropriate, and that's reflected in the report. And I think it's fair to say that he is of a firm view that council could not require a development application for the on-water activity. It would certainly be the first of its kind if we did, I think that's reassuring to council that that legal advice supports the view that we've previously held.
Thanks. Thank you. No further discussion. Councillor Atkinson.
I guess further on to Councillor Fox's questions, and you have clarified in the staff have clarified in the email, but I think it's worth discussing. The other issue that was raised was whether the home-based business is subservient to the on-water activity, and there's some discussion in the email clarifying that. I was hoping that staff could at least repeat that clarification.
Mr. Ferrier, are you able to answer the question?
Yeah, through the chair, I'll just read what I sent to the councillors. But the use of a residence, it's in regard to the incorrect characterisation of the use. The use of the residence for a home-based business does need to be considered, as this property will be used to operate this business. That's quite normal. We've just been talking about home-based businesses, and we do deal with what needs to occur on that particular property. That business is not subservient to the on-water activity as contended. In other words, the activity within the property can't be ignored, and just we focus only on the on-water activity. It's an activity in its own right under the planning scheme on that private property, albeit the fact that in this particular case it was designated as a no permit required. So the actual activity on the residential property is not subservient to the on-water activity, because that would mean that we wouldn't be actually considering a potential planning permit of a home-based business on that property at all, which is clearly not the case.
Thank you. Councillor Reid?
I guess we should have some comfort in the fact that we now have some legal advice which clarifies this issue, but I have to place on record that despite having that, I still believe that this type of activity is not appropriate at Conyngham Beach, and it seems one of these difficult ones that we can't we don't seem to have the authority to stop it. But I think that the concerns of the local residents in terms of the potential safety issues and the noise issues are just not compatible with a beach that is not just for locals, but that many people from around the municipality and beyond will head to, particularly in the summer months. It's very, very busy with all sorts of watercraft there and kayakers, yachts, etc. And I just think it's a bit of a tragedy that there is, I guess, this sort of business is allowed to operate in that area, because I don't think the two things are compatible, but it's one of those ones where we don't seem to have the ability to prohibit it, and it just makes me a bit sad.
Thank you. Councillor Bastone.
I echo Councillor Reek's concerns or sentiments, that I think if this had have come up to us as a planning issue, then there certainly would have been a lot more discussion about it. And I think part of the problem is that it's been deemed as a home-based business that we had no notification of. This is something that we were talking about before, that when it's a home-based business and you don't know what it is, it's very hard to make objections to. In this case, the council staff didn't see any need for us to even know that it was going to be there, because it wasn't deemed necessary to have a planning permit. It doesn't matter how many times they say it's no need for a planning permit. In people's eyes, in the public's eyes, it's very much something that's been done without any consultation to them, and I think this is a large part of the problem. I swim at Conyngham Beach. I take my grandchildren to Conyngham Beach, and I don't think it's a place that we need to have jet skis running as a business several times a day leaving from the beach. This is not a place where a jet ski is just coming into. Part of the problem is, because it's a tour, these jet skis can be operated by 12-year-olds. And if any of you have ever used a jet ski, once you take your hands off the power throttle, you lose all control over your jet ski, but they continue to glide. They don't stop dead in the water. They continue on. And the safety concerns of people and myself, I think, are very real.
Thank you. Councillor Winter.
Look, I echo the sentiments of other councillors in saying that the process of sort of us not knowing about the application, the community not knowing about the application, and in retrospect having to go through this whole process where people feel so upset by it, that we're now receiving petitions and email after email, and clearly this process hasn't worked correctly. I will say, though, I know it's an unpopular view, but I've been down and looked at this, the operation of the jet skis. I don't consider the operation to be unsafe at all. My 18-month-old son walked and waited next to the jet skis. They come in incredibly slowly, and albeit this is a very small sample, this is only half hour or so, but watching them come in very slowly, adhering to the law. The law says that they can't be hooning around close to the beach. I think it's 100 metres offshore they need to be before they accelerate. What I saw was a business owner that was acting very responsibly in getting them in and out of the shore. The actual activity of the jet skis is very much out. It's aimed to be out in the channel as opposed to around Conyngham Beach. As a local at Kingston Beach, I don't like seeing jet skis zooming up and down Kingston Beach. It does affect amenity, but this is not what this business was doing. That they need to adhere to the law, but also to the regulations that exist. So until somebody, and look, to those residents, I've said in my most recent correspondence to them, if they see the jet ski operators or the participants acting in a way which is not in accordance with the law or the regulations, they should let us know. But so far, in my observations, and I haven't heard anything to the contrary, they've been acting entirely appropriately. We hear about how wonderful tourism is all the time and how important it is for the community. Well, here's someone that's entrepreneurial, who's put together a business case and a plan, and is adding more value to tourist attractions in the local area. So until someone can prove to me that it is, dangerous or that it is impacting amenity in a very serious way, I'm supportive of it. Also note that it was called one of the people complaining calls Conyngham Beach pristine. Now it's not pristine. There's sheds all along the beach. There are boats. When I was down there, was a speedboat parked, 10 metres offshore in front of me. This is an area which is loved by the community. It's loved because it's been added to with a car park and with sheds and with people bringing their boats there. So it's not like we're on untouched West Coast area here. We're actually an area that's being heavily used by the community because it is an absolutely beautiful beach. I didn't think that this was significantly detracting from the area. I would still take myself and my kids back there, I think, even with the... I didn't think it detracted from the area at all. I know that's an opinion that's not popular down at Conyngham, but that was my view I formed when I went there.
Thank you. Councillor Chadden, would you like to close the debate?
Thank you, Mayor. It's interesting to hear what Councillor Winter has to say, because I can go back... We had a family residence there started 50 years ago, and over just over 50 years we were burnt out in the 67 fires, and I rebuilt after that. And the things that happened on the beach when I was a child, we all had dinghies, and we used to zip up and down the beach, exactly where the jet skis are today. We used to bring the dinghies in. They don't slow down when you turn the motor off on the dinghies. They still glide just like the jet skis do. Things that happened on that beach, and some of the people who I know who have shacks there now were children at the time with me, and I know they know exactly as I do what used to happen on the beach. We'd bring the dinghies in, we'd have ropes across the beach with anchors on them. I mean, these are not things that the jet skis do, but people have had boat sheds there. They were burnt out in the 67 fire. Some people were able to rebuild, some didn't. The beach is a lovely, pristine beach, as in the safety. It's one of the safest beaches around for children, because the sandbar area just glides right out, and therefore there's no rips, there's no quick drop or anything like that. It's a very, very safe beach for children, and I acknowledge that, and that's one of the reasons that we were there for over 50 years, because it's a wonderful place. The water activity seems to me is the issue, and that comes under MAST, not under council, and that's a MAST issue. And if there's a navigational or safety issues, as it says here, they fall under MAST, and MAST is the jurisdiction. I don't consider turning up to a person's house to park one's car, to put on a wetsuit and walk across the beach, as anybody can walk across the beach. We used to carry our surfboards and paddle boards and stuff down across the water, across the beach, to use them during the summer months. And we leave things sitting on the beach and people didn't object. So I just feel that this business is not impacting to the light that some people believe it is. And I believe that council has now got legal information to back up what's been done by staff, and I just think we just move on.
Thank you, Councillor Chadden. Councillors, I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Chadden, seconded by Councillor Fox, that the organisers of the petition to stop Tasmanian jet ski adventures from operating from Conyngham Beach be advised that there are no grounds to cancel the permit issued under the Parks, Recreation and Natural Areas Bylaw, and that council has no legal capacity to require a development application to be lodged for the on-water use of jet skis off Conyngham Beach. Councillors, those in favour, please say aye. Those against? We'll have a division or a show of hands, please. Those in favour are councillors Winter, Bastone, Chatterton, Fox, Atkinson and Wass. And opposing the motion, Councillor Reet. Motion is carried. The next item is on page 156, Waste Management Strategy, and there is a recommendation on page 158. I have a mover in Councillor Atkinson and a seconder in Councillor Fox. Councillor Atkinson.
Thank you, Mayor. This is a motion to put the Council's draft Waste Management Strategy out for public comment. It's a strategy that's been developed over many months, and there's been much information provided us as councillors and discussion with us as to where we go with this. There's issues to do with what sort of curbside collection we want, not only what areas the municipality should have curbside collection, but also whether we should be looking at collection of organic waste, garden organics and kitchen organics. For a number of reasons, part of it is to reduce what's going into the waste stream, partly is for environmental reasons, and partly is in response, for whatever reason, to community expectation that people have said they'd like improved waste services or they'd like improved recycling. Council's engaged an external consultant to advise us on this, and this strategy is a fairly comprehensive document, but at least will give us a starting point for the community to respond and say, is this the sort of thing that they want?
Thank you, Councillor Atkinson. Councillor Reid.
Thank you. I just wanted to ask, I'm pleased we're putting it out for public comment for 6 weeks, but I just wondered whether there was the possibility of us running a community information session where somebody gives an overview of the document. It's been written by consultants, and while it's in reasonably accessible language, I think even for us as councillors, it was far easier for us to understand when we had a presentation on it and had the ability to ask questions rather than just expecting members of the public to take the time to read what is a fairly lengthy document and then make responses when they may have questions that could assist in formulating a better response.
Thank you, Councillor Reid. Mr Reeve, would you like to respond, please?
Oh, yeah, through you, Mayor. Look, the intention was to, I guess, release this for comment there and just to see what sort of comments we're going to get back. I know Hobart's done a similar thing in terms of actually running some community consultation forums that weren't very well attended. We wanted to see whether there was, I guess, the interest out there. As part of that, what we'd like to do as well in that six-week period there is to actually take parts of the actual strategy itself there and, I guess, release them in a very easy-to-understand way via social media and other outlets as well at the same time so people can get a good feel for the strategy itself. I would expect that at the end of that period there may be a call for certain areas there to say we would like to know a little bit more about the actual strategy itself there. I would imagine there may be some of the community groups such as BIAC and so forth on Broody there that may be interested in actually having it presented to them in another sort of forum there. So we're sort of open to that part of it. I guess in terms of the consultation side of things there, we want to do it properly so that we basically get out to as many people as possible. So we're certainly open to that. So even though we've actually mentioned the six-week period here, which is fairly standard for a lot of our consultation periods there, that doesn't preclude us from actually extending that out a little bit further and actually extending how we actually do the consultation a bit further as well at the same time.
I'm pleased to see that, you know, potentially we may do something further. I'm all for social media and it's a great medium, but the reality is there are a lot of members of the community, particularly older members, who don't engage in those sorts of forums, who, you know, don't have the IT skills necessary or it just doesn't interest them. So whilst, you know, releasing chunks is part of trying to reach out to people, I think perhaps we could, in seeking public feedback now, we could also ask, are you interested in attending a community presentation and gauge the interest in having one, even if we were only to run sort of one or two, you know, one centrally here and then one down in the channel, one in Bruny Island. If Councillor Grace was here, he would have said that, so I'll just get in. Because I think that sort of dialogue could bring up some issues that perhaps hadn't been addressed in this report and you know, add some further guts to it and give us more food for thought when we develop the final policy. So if we could do that, I'd appreciate it. And we may find that we get two or three people saying they'd be interested in it and it may not be worth running, but we may find that we get 20 or 30, and particularly if we communicate that directly to all the different environmental groups in the municipality, which we know there are many, I think you'd probably get a lot of interest from them in coming along and having some dialogue about it, which would be, I think, useful for us as councillors as well.
Mr. Reeve.
Through you, Mayor. Yes, take your comments on board and we'll make sure we do that.
I did. I noticed. All right, thank you. Councillor Bastone.
Can I just say that I think that for the areas that we're looking at who don't have rubbish collection at the moment, it's fairly important that we do have someone come down and talk to them, but through the community groups, because I think they have to really understand what they're going to get, as opposed to just what they think they're going to get. And for them to wade through all of this, they probably will find it fairly difficult. So if I can just ask Mr. Reeve if he could come down and perhaps talk to the different community associations down the channel. Woodbridge? Kettering? Kettering maybe, yes, well, yes. Quite a lot of people answered it from Kettering, but it would be good if we could have someone actually talk there.
Thank you. Councillor Chadden?
I just want to pick up on what Councillor Bastone said, because I know we tried to increase some areas once before, and the negativity that came from the residents, some didn't want it, some wanted it, and we've always had a bun fight when we wanted to increase the area of waste collection by council. There's always been, it's too far to take the wheelie bin from my house all the way down through my property to the drive. It's too steep to get it up and down. There's too this, and there's too that, and there's too something else. So the more public comments and information we can get out there, the better.
Thank you. And can I ask Mr. Reeve, please, that when we decide on this, that all going to all the rubbish itself, that we have somewhere where it's going to landfill, so people have a distinct knowledge that what goes in the rubbish goes to landfill. It's something that Councillor Atkinson and I have been pushing for some time, because I think that itself does also open up to all the citizens throughout our municipality just what goes in there and where it ends up, particularly when there's an opportunity to do that, or recycling or other opportunities that will emerge. Further speakers? None. I'll simply put the recommendation moved by Councillor Atkinson, seconded by Councillor Fox. Okay, thank you. The Council's draft waste management strategy be released for public comment for a period of 6 weeks. Councillors in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against, carried unanimously. The next item is on page 198, proposed Kingston Park development. And there is a recommendation on page 205. Thank you, Councillor Chadden. And I'm looking for a seconder, Councillor Fox. Thank you. Councillor Chadden.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Ms. Breezy just giving us a current progress update, a comprehensive update by Mr. Ferrier on what's happening there. Of course, we, as I understand it, we still don't own the land, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we're still waiting for the government to make up their mind how many square metres of land they require for the health centre, which they have supposedly funded in this current budget that's came out a few weeks back. But until that happens, as I understand it, please tell me if I'm wrong, but that needs to be subdivided off before we buy it. And I note there's been some comments in the media by people saying, you know, why don't we do something? But if we don't own the site, we can't do anything. I believe I'm correct. If
we're simply waiting on a certificate of title for the state government, so they can.
That's right. So if we got title, we can't do anything. I know we're pushing ahead, as it says in here, about roadworks and getting some things underway for when we do own the land and we can turn a sod on it. But at this stage, we don't own the land, so we can't really do anything. But of course, we don't own it. We're not paying interest on the loan we're going to have to pay for it either. So that's a saving.
Thank you, Councillor Reid.
Thank you. I was going to make the point that Councillor Chatterton did, that is, it's not ours yet, and that's really frustrating, because it does seem like a substantial amount of time already that we've been dealing with this. And it also, from my memory, that the state government's community health centre was actually announced prior to the last election by the previous government. So It's been a long wait for the residents of Kingborough for that as well, and it's starting to feel like the community health centre that's never going to be. But I just wanted to make comment about, because it's mentioned in here about the funding for it, and I think it's really disappointing that we're still haven't received any federal government funding for it. We've made now, is it 3 or 4 applications to the federal government's regional development fund, and after what we saw with the last lot of announcements with that, what we can conclude is if Kingston Park was a couple of hundred kilometres to the north, I think it probably would have had a much more significant chance of being funded, and that's greatly disappointing. And even if it was properly in the Brighton municipality, it would have had a good chance of being funded. But it seems to be very, very difficult for us in the south, particularly in Kingborough, to receive any federal government funding for a major community project. And I really hope that our federal MPs take make a serious attempt at lobbying their colleagues to get them to understand the importance of this as a whole community project, not just for residents of Kingston, but I think residents from further afield and even other municipalities who I think will come and be attracted to the facilities that are here. And it's really frustrating that we have fantastic plans and vision and all these things waiting, and time after time we're being overlooked for funding. And I don't know about everyone else, but my patience is kind of wearing out, and I say bring on another federal election.
I'd just like to say that the General Manager and I will continue to knock on doors on behalf of Council, and I'm an optimist, otherwise I wouldn't knock on doors continually, so we'll hang in there. Councillor Weeder.
Just following on from Councillor Reid's discussion, I wholeheartedly agree. I guess we've asked this before, but it seems to me that we're very politely knocking on doors, Mayor, doing a great job of politely knocking on doors. But when are we going to start getting the stick out and actually telling these guys very publicly and very strongly that we haven't seen any funding, we need some funding, and that site there is being left is potentially going to be left vacant because of the lack of support from both sides of politics at a federal and state level? Is there going to be a change of strategy in line with the fact that we haven't received any money under the current tactics that we've been using to get funding?
Look, I'm very much aware of that. There will be an opportunity presented to us next week, and maybe we'll kick the door in as we move into the office, but certainly we're making that more and more as we go ahead. And we'll be calling on both sides of Parliament, obviously, both sides of government, but certainly we've got to deal with government itself, and we will continue to do that. Did I have a light come on before, Councillor Atkinson?
I won't repeat everything Councillor Reid and Councillor Winter have said, but I support wholeheartedly what they've said. The promise of the health centre seems to be a never-ending just over the horizon, and there doesn't seem to be a great deal of federal money in this infrastructure government flowing down this end of the state. My only other comment was perhaps we could cross the proposed word off the front of this report and call it Kingston Park Development, because that's what we're doing. It's actually happening. It's not just proposed. But otherwise, the report gives us an update of where we're up to. It is a shame that these promises aren't being fulfilled.
Thank you. Councillor Bastow.
It's part of the reason we're not getting the funding, the fact we don't own the land. Yet.
Councillors, I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Chadden, seconded by Councillor Fox, that the report on the current progress of Kingston Park Development Project be noted. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? It's carried unanimously. Page 206, Kingborough Family Daycare Fee Amendment, and there is a recommendation on page 207. Thank you, Councillor Reid. Thank you, Councillor Fox. Councillor Reid?
I'm happy to move this. I guess my only question was I was surprised when I read through it that there hadn't been some consultation with the family daycare educators prior to these fees being settled on. So that's kind of led to this error, administrative error, if you like, where it was only after the fact when they were told that the fees and charges had been set that they realised that there had been a mistake made. So I wondered if somebody might want to comment on that. I'm just not sure who. It's just me, maybe.
I'll ask Mr. Arnold. We'll go to the top. Mr. Arnold.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Reid, I wish I knew.
I wish you didn't too.
Quite frankly, it's somewhat embarrassing that we have to bring this report back so soon after the council has set its fees and charges, and I can only apologise for that, but it was belatedly brought to the attention of management that under the proposed scale that had been put to council, there appeared to be an anomaly in this particular area, and that a less than a handful, I'm told, of families may well have been paying less next financial year than they currently pay, and as a result of that being brought to our attention, hence the report, and I can only apologise.
Thank you. Further discussion, councillors? In that case, I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Reid, seconded by Councillor Fox. The council endorsed an amendment to the Family Day Care Parent Administration Levy for 2017-18 to be set to a minimum of $10.20 per week plus 40 cents per hour. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? It's carried unanimously. Next item is on page 208, the 2017 Annual General Meeting. It's getting too late in the night. And there is a recommendation on page 211. Thank you, Councillor Atkinson. Do I have a seconder? Councillor Reid, Councillor Atkinson.
Thank you, Mayor. First, I'd like to say thank you to Councillor Winter for pushing this issue so hard about the AGM, and to other councillors who supported continuing to have a council AGM as a public event. I believe strongly that it's an important part of transparent democracy that we have an AGM where people have the opportunity to come and see their council. I don't care if no one turns up, but I was glad to see that lots of people did turn up because we changed the format of it last time. This is a further step to say the format was successful. Let's see what we can improve with it. I am glad that this recommendation includes looking at live streaming of the event. Once again, whether it's successful or not, it's the council expanding the way we communicate, not just sticking in the past of the way we've always published things in the corner of the newspaper, and we're actually realising what century we're in. I think this is a good initiative, so I recommend the motion.
Thank you. Councillor Reid?
Look, I was similar to Councillor Atkinson. I wanted to congratulate Councillor Winter on bringing this forward because I think we had a great success at our last AGM, and I must admit, I think we're all surprised by the number of people who turned up. But I think what was even more significant about it and useful was not just the formal part of the meeting, but also then afterwards, the number of residents who stayed, had a cup of tea, and were just able to get to know their councillors, ask questions about some of the issues that perhaps they didn't feel comfortable standing up and asking at the AGM or within the formality of a council meeting. And I think that is actually a really powerful part of that in terms of making people feel comfortable with interacting with their local council. And not a lot of people do it. You know, they find there's something scary about it. Well, you know, we're not scary. There is formality associated with council, but I think that was a really positive thing, and hopefully we can continue to attract that many people, and I'd like to see that sort of informal part of it continue as well for the, you know, range of benefits.
Thank you. Councillor Chetland?
Yeah, I just want to raise an issue as regards to the live streaming. Tonight, when I declared an interest, I had to leave the room, and I'm not allowed to listen to debate. When I declared an interest, I have to leave the room. With live streaming, I could have gone out to the councillor's room out the back, got onto it on a device, and listened to what was being said. Is that contrary to the Act?
Councillor Winner.
Well, as it happens, I've got the Local Government Act 1993, Section 48 in front of me. And there's nothing particularly there about... It certainly says you need to leave the room, but it doesn't say... There's nothing specifically to say you can't listen to debate. I mean, I guess the point of it is that you can't participate in debate and be a part of it. You can go back and listen to the audio afterwards if you want tonight. See, we had a great debate. You'd be very proud of us. I don't know if I'm making a question. Am I responding to your question or making a contribution? I don't know.
Just make your contribution, please.
Are you finished? You're finished? Or?
He's finished.
You're finished? That's all right. I just realised, sorry, I've... Yes. It looks legal to me, and I'm no lawyer, so good luck. all I wanted to say was that I appreciate this is going... Look, sometimes when you don't work in government, as I don't, you want things to move very, very fast, and you get frustrated when they don't move very fast. But in this case, we're not moving very fast, but we are moving to the next step, and I think the next step is live streaming, and I think if that works, then we can do the next thing. If we had have done everything which I wanted to do last year, you know, we might have stuffed it up trying to live stream when we weren't ready to. We might not have had the legislative understanding we needed to. So I think it's sensible and a very cautious approach that Council's taking. I think this is the obvious next step. I wanted to echo what Councillor Reid said about the event itself, was that I met so many people that I didn't actually know anyone in the crowd. Was a thing that I... Usually you get the same... I've seen most of you before. And, we appreciate those people that are always involved. And we had the usual crowd from the consultative committee there, obviously. But the other people I didn't know, and it was a lovely elderly couple that I chatted to for 20 minutes about all sorts of things. They wanted to know about their pothole, and this is the first time they'd been here, and that was the kind of engagement we wanted. The next level of engagement I'd really like to see is youth. I don't think we're likely to see people under 40 attending council meetings very often, apart from me. So it would be good to put it online so that it's, you know, in their face and they can switch on. Eventually I'd like them to be able to ask questions, but I do appreciate the reasons why we can't ask questions yet. So, yeah, I really appreciate that I don't often win at council, so one thing that if I don't get elected next time, I'll be able to say at least I fixed the AGM, maybe. Thanks.
Thank you, Councillor Winnett. Further comments, councillors? Anything you want to say, Councillor Atkinson? I'll let you this time.
Thank you. Look, on the live streaming issue, other councils live stream their meetings, so presumably have addressed the issue of legality, and I'm sure that if any councillor felt that they were duty-bound not to listen to a debate, then they wouldn't. As to people under 40 attending council meetings, I know for a fact that someone under 30 attended one in the last couple of months, so... That's about all I want to add. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillors, I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Atkinson, seconded by Councillor Reid, that the format for the 2017 Council Annual General Meeting be similar to 2016, with the inclusion of live streaming of the event. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? That is carried unanimously. The next item is on page 212, Tas Water, and there is a recommendation on page 214.
Now, I'd move that the council not contribute towards this project.
That the council resolve to not contribute to the request?
Yes.
Not to contribute. To not financially support? Financially support? Now, do I have a seconder? Councillor Winner? Thank you. Councillor Chatterton? That's what I was
saying. I don't mind what words you have, but I don't want to pay the money. Look, Mayor, I think I'm not in favour of Tas Water being being taken over by the government. I don't believe we in the South have got the problems that the North have got. And at the northern end of the state, from the various four water companies that were in place prior, and then it went down to three, and then it went down to the one company that's there now. And we have not had any boil water alerts, to my knowledge, in our areas in the south. The sewage plants, as far as they are in the south, we had plans in this council to do exactly what Taswater's about to do now, and we were about to go ahead with that project when we were told not to because Southern Water became into an existence. If the LGAT wish to run a campaign, so be it. I have no problem with that. I have no problem with us being part of that campaign. But I don't believe we should be spending ratepayers' money to go round in circle, and I think the $18,480 as mentioned could be quite well spent on a lot of other issues.
Thank you, Councillor Chadden. Councillor Winter?
Yeah, look. Talk about it. Imagine what people out there must be thinking when they see... I've been listening to the state government's water and sewage ads on the radio talking about taking over Taswater, using our taxpayer funds to pay for this. Imagine what they'd think if their ratepayers' funds started being used to advertise against the taxpayers' funds. I mean, how fast is that? It's just... I think they should call, you know, if we're in a perfect world, they call a truce and say, look, neither of us are going to advertise, we're going to play it out on the issues, we're going to have we're going to have a debate about it, we're going to use the news, that usual media format, and we're not going to waste everybody's money and time on this. That won't happen, but I think we can still win it on the issue. I think local government has an excellent record of standing up to the state government, and quite often, in fact most times, they seem to win in these sort of arguments, and I think I can't in good conscience support spending $18,480 ratepayers' money, as Councillor Chatham said, on this when there are so many other worthy causes that it could be spent on.
Thank you. Councillor Reid?
Like the previous two speakers, I think that... Look, we decided, I wasn't at the meeting, but Council decided to not support the state government takeover of Taswater, and we made that clear. I think that we can continue to support that by articulating that, but I think that to spend $18,000 of money that when we have, you know, challenges financially ourselves, is not a wise course of action. And the bottom line is, we don't need to win the hearts and minds of the Tasmanian population here. This is not a issue that is going to be voted on by the Tasmanian population. In fact, a lot of residents wouldn't have the faintest idea who owns the water and sewage system, nor do they care. They just want to know that it's actually ticking along well. The reality is, legislation is going to go through Parliament, and the decision will be made in the Legislative Council. So the best thing that the Local Government Association can do at no cost is to go and lobby every member of the Upper House. And that is where the power is in this debate. There is no need to have expensive public advertising campaigns because when we can communicate, or the association can communicate directly with the MPs in the Upper House, who will be making the final decision as to whether this goes ahead or not.
Thank you. Councillor Fox?
I do recall reading that the LGAT specifically said they didn't want to talk about advertising. It's a campaign. I'd like to know how they've arrived at the amount that they've asked for. Perhaps that's been... I've missed that in the correspondence. Right. 1% of Council's Taswater dividend will amount to a contribution of $18,480. I'm very much in favour of paying this amount. I think it's imperative that if we are going to vote for the retention of Taswater in Council ownership, that we also put our money where our mouth is when it comes to a campaign against a formidable opponent, the state government, who are also running ads, as Councillor Winter said, at great expense. I mean, he of all people should know that publicity pays.
there, it is really important that if you see someone running a campaign that you run an equally strong campaign in the other direction. I just think that it is important, of course, to lobby the upper house members, but it's the community that needs to be encouraged to support what we're doing, to be educated on the issue. A lot of people I speak to, like Councillor Reet mentioned, they don't really understand what's going on, and it would help for a consolidated effort from the LGAT to educate the community in that regard, as they already are. They're writing excellent letters and they're writing excellent articles. But campaigns cost money. The people, the staff of the LGAT, are very few, and they're very hard pressed to run this campaign on top of their other work that they have to do. We've got a local government conference coming up. They're already working on that, and I think they would have to get extra staff on board, or at least get extra people to help them, and that costs money. And the least we can do is to contribute to that cost and put our money where our mouth is, basically.
Thank you, Councillor Fox. Councillor Bastone.
I agree with Councillor Fox. I think this is a time where you have to stand up. We've said very clearly that we're against the government taking over Taswater. Well, they're sort of empty words unless we follow it up, and I think it's imperative. I don't want to pay $18,480, but I think that without paying it, we're just a hollow vessel, aren't we? We're not putting our money where our mouth is, and I think it's very important to show that we're quite serious about not having the government take us over.
Thank you. Councillor Atkinson.
Thank you, Mayor. The previous couple of speakers have said a lot of what I wanted to say. We've already said as a council that we believe there's no crisis in that. You know, this plan from the government, which they've never come to present to us, is a construction. I believe the government's running aid campaigns. I've yet to see any of them, which always also offends me greatly, because that's my tax money being spent on something that I never even see. And I know that there's already questions about the legality of whether it's even possible for them to take over Taswater. It's theft. These are shares that belong to councils, and you can't just take them under the Corporations Act, or so the advice says. I'm heartened to hear that other councillors think that we have to contribute if we believe something. Legats run on a shoestring, and campaigns of any sort, whether it's advertising or whatever it is, does cost money. It costs money to have staff sit there and write letters or whatever. And if we believe this and we want to push this, then I think we should contribute. I'll foreshadow that I will move the original motion if this motion fails.
Thank you. We've all had to say, so I'll have a few words and then I'll ask Councillor Chatham to close debate. I guess what concerned me is that by voting to retain Taswater at our last time we mentioned it, that really obligated us financially, and that does worry me. I do believe that for $18,000 we can better spend those funds elsewhere, and if the state wants to take over Taswater, although I oppose it, as the council we oppose it, I think that's up to them to do if they so desire. And it's a realm of government that can dictate and do that. Now, as late as today, the president of Legat indicated that it's an unlawful, in his opinion, an unlawful exercise, and they can't do it. And certainly going forward, Legat will take that matter forward. I think Councillor Reet hit the nail on the head proper when she said it's going to be the upper house that are going to determine that. We've asked for Minister Gutwin to come along and make that presentation to us at this stage, and we indicated at that time that because of the budget there would be a delay, and that request has gone through. We've had a further offer from the Labor Party. Mr. Bacon Scott Bacon MP has made an offer, and we'll be contacting him to take him up on his as well as to that part of it. I as I said, I feel obligated in some ways, but I'm delighted that there's feelings around the room that we shouldn't, because I believe the $18,480, I think it is far better spent in our municipality doing what our ratepayers want. And it's quite true that our ratepayers' monies could be spent to that tune of that amount and get us nowhere. And yes, the Tasmanian taxpayers are paying money, and that's up to the government of the day to justify their actions. So I will support this motion because I believe we can do better with our money, and we can still support the case for retention by local government, and we can certainly take that matter to our legislative councillors and, as I said before, listen to what the opposition have to say. Councillor Chadden, would you like to close?
Yeah, I thank you, Mayor. Look, thank you for your comments, and I mean, Councillor Reid is quite right. The people who will make the decision in the end will be the Legislative Council. And why should we have a TV campaign to lobby the Upper House? And it disappoints me that the Treasurer is the Minister for Local Government, and on one side he supports local government, on the other side he doesn't. So that disappoints me as well. And of course, at the moment, the Local Government Association does run a TV ad on councils and how good the staff are at various councils. And I've had a lot of negativity on that ad. You know, why are councils wasting my rates running that ad? So, goodness gracious me, I'm just worried what other... If we run another ad that we're paying for, crikey, they'll be mean to me again. And I just don't believe it's the way to go. I believe we should spend the money, which we need every dollar we can to spend in our own municipality. We don't want Taswater to be taken over by the state government. There must be a better way we can lobby the Upper House people, because that's where the vet's going to rest. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Chadden. Councillors, I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Chadden and seconded by Councillor Winner, that Council resolve to not financially support the campaign request from Legat against the proposed state government takeover of Taswater. I'll ask councillors in favour to please say aye. Those against? We'll have a division or a show of hands, please. Those in favour are Councillor Winter, or Councillors Winter, Chatterton, Reet and Wass. And opposing the motion, we have Councillor Bastone, Councillor Fox and Councillor Atkinson. Motion is carried. We'll move on to page 217, information reports. And I'll move in a second and we can roll through them. Thank you, Councillor Reid. Thank you, Councillor Fox. The following information reports be noted. The first one is the General Manager's Diary from the 1st of May to the 2nd of June 2017 on pages 218 and 19. Any questions to the General Manager? I'll take it that's no. The next item is the current and previous minute resolution starting at page 220 and going to 223. Now, I have a question on this that I was going to discuss with the General Manager, but I haven't had time to. I was just wondering, in relation to the resolution, whether in some instances we can have some detail. Because sometimes it's very hard to remember what we were trying to achieve. Does other councillors agree with me?
Yep, Minister.
No, I can give you some examples, but it just...
Only here's the Humphrey's answer.
Oh, I see. Obviously everyone agrees with me, so I'll ask Councillor Reid for her questions.
It's just a general question because this is sort of getting fairly lengthy. It's entitled current resolutions, but once they're complete, like, how long do they stay on here for? Because, like, quite a few of them, they stay complete, so...
I'll ask Mr. Arnold.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Reid, they go off at the very next time this is reported to Council, so we just put it once on the public record to say that we've actually completed that action, and then it disappears.
Okay, thank you.
Councillor Atkinson?
I had a query about on page
222, resolution C379, bar 18, 16, the Kingwood Bike Advisory Committee talking about getting pedestrian cycle access over Norwest Bay River. I think you've verbally informed someone, I can't remember if you, Mayor, or General Manager, verbally informed us that Taz Water are talking about putting the pipe underground and not bridging the river, and whether that resolution needs some updating.
Mr.
I'll put a question mark on the end of that for you.
I guess you will take it back. I take it you will take it back to the committee, but I'll ask Mr. Arnold to respond.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Atkinson, your recollection is accurate. At the latest briefing from Taz Water on the alignment of the construction works that have now commenced, it was advised that they were now going some 10 to 12 metres away from the actual bridge, which took away what was previously being pursued. So further discussion required.
So I imagine that that resolution is almost becoming pointless if they're not going to be bridging it anyway, it could be used. We can close it down at some stage.
Yeah. Mr. Reeve, you want to add to that response?
Mayor, just to add to that one there, so there's two pipelines we're talking about here. We're talking about the water pipeline and the sewer pipeline as well. So two different project managers and two different projects there. So the discussion here was about the water pipeline and also the works that Department of State Growth was doing with strengthening of the Northwest Bay Bridge as well. So they'd been having some discussions with Taz Water about the water pipeline, about potentially crossing the bridge there. Taswater was going to go away, or the project manager for that project was going to go away and have some further discussions with the project manager for the sewer line, with the viewpoint of looking at undergrounding both of those assets there. Despite that, Department of State Growth will also still be doing the bridge strengthening works, but highly unlikely that that it will mean that we would end up being able to get a path of some description across that bridge there, and the most likely scenario is they will combine both of those pipelines and put them both underground.
Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Winter?
I was going to ask about the online petitions item. It lists the completion of June. I think it's the last one. So does that mean we are definitely now having online petitions as part of our website? And can we confirm that that means the website will also be, the new website will also be up and running in June?
Mr. Arnold?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. yes. I'm getting prompts everywhere here, Councillor Winter. Yes, look, I spoke with our executive manager this morning, who assures me that the website is ready to go live, and we were just having, as you do with these sort of things, 11th hour difficulties with the logo of all things, running intermittently when the rest of the website was ready to go live. He still assures me we will go live this week. And the answer to your question about the online petitions is that the intention is that the capacity is there with the new website.
Great. Well, that is that's great news. No, well, we haven't, but let's face it, we've seen our existing website, so there's only one direction to go. I won't ask questions. I'll look forward to using it, and I'll pass on my comments then, but that's great news.
Thank you. We'll move on to the next item, Infrastructure Works Progress Report, starting at page 224 onwards. I think you'll agree that some of those pictures are worth 1,000 words and gives us a real good idea of what our staff are doing. Any questions or comments?
Yes, I do.
Sorry, Councillor Pascoe.
This is on behalf of Councillor Grace, who has unfortunately been unable to stay till this point. He would like to know the trade-in value of the trucks and plant that we got on the recently purchased plant on page 229.
Mr. Arnold.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. I certainly don't recall the answer to that question off the top of my head. I suspect my colleague doesn't either, so we'll take that on notice and we'll provide that in writing to all councils.
Thank you.
Further, yeah, Councillor Atkinson.
I would just briefly, I'd like to draw attention on page 224 to the excellent work of the Kingborough Wetlands, which I consider a jewel of Kingston, and great to see the work on the track and the new bridge there. Thank you.
Councillor Fox.
Yeah, it's great to see all these pictures, and there is one issue I have on page 227, the bottom picture with the blue softball at Drew Point Playground, and I did mention this previously, that I'm concerned that the new type of softball that is being installed, particularly in Clarence, is already deteriorating into little granules, and they're not biodegradable, it's like rubber. And I'm just hoping that that's not what we've used here. And if it is what we've used here, is the stuff biodegradable?
Thank you. And I do remember you asking that question and with those concerns. And I must admit, I have seen it in other municipalities. And the day it was put down to 5 years later was the same condition. So I haven't seen any issues with it. And whether that is an impact of the way in which it was set or laid, I don't know, and I'll ask Mr. Reeve if he could respond, and certainly keep an eye on those. Mr. Reeve.
Yeah, through you, Mayor. Yeah. They have been used extensively elsewhere, including in Glenorchy, where they've used a lot of them up there, and they've held up quite well. I can't speak for the one over in Clarence, so I'm not aware of that one there, but I would suggest if they're starting to have failures in that one there, then it wouldn't be meeting its warranty for that side of things there. So they are a rubberised type of material that's actually used there, but they should have a life well in the excess of 10 to 15 years normally. So I'm surprised if they've had problems with the one in Clarence there.
Thank you. Any further questions or comments, councillors? If not, we'll go back to page 217. I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Reed, seconded by Councillor Fox, that the following information reports be noted. 1. General Manager's Diary from the 1st of May to the 2nd of June 2017. 2. Current and previous minute resolutions. And 3. Infrastructure Works Progress Report. I'll ask councillors in favour to please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? That is carried unanimously. We'll go to page 233. Confirmation of items to be dealt with in closed session. There is a list there for you. Thank you, Councillor Fox. Thank you, Councillor Reed. I'll put that in accordance with Regulation 15, the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulation 2015, the following items to be dealt with in closed session as listed. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? That is carried unanimously. Closed session. Before I go into closed session, to those in the audience, 1, 2, 1. Thank you for coming along tonight. We're actually going now into closed session, so we hope you've had an enjoyable visit. All right. Yeah, mate. So, Council's page 234, closed session. That in accordance with Regulation 15, the Local Government Meeting Procedures, Regulation 215, Council move into closed session. If I can have a move and a seconder. Thank you, Councillor Fox. Thank you, Councillor Reed. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against, is carried unanimously. In accordance with Kingborough Council Meetings Audio Recording Guidelines Policy, recording of the open session, this meeting will now cease.